We started the sermon series last Sunday entitled Lies We Believe, and I think all of us are in agreement that there's a lot of messages and a lot of voices that are speaking in our world, but they're not all speaking according to truth. They're not all speaking according to the Word of God. The message today is entitled Lies We Believe, Do What Your Heart Tells You or Follow Your Heart. You know, the message of follow your heart is a very popular message. And there are many calls to follow your heart. We hear it in movies, we hear it in books and magazines and through social media and other avenues as well. The idea is that your heart or your inner self, which is your emotional makeup, is a true and reliable compass for life. I mean, that's the idea, is that your heart, your emotional makeup is a reliable compass. We are led to believe that your heart will never lead you astray. That's the message. Many voices give us that message. So for the record today, for the record, nowhere in God's Word are we instructed to follow our heart. Actually, we are instructed the opposite. We are instructed to surrender our heart to God, to give our heart to God. We are encouraged to choose to follow His wisdom, His guidance, His direction, and not the dictates of our heart. I want to share some interesting quotes with you today. And these quotes, I think, will illustrate what we're going to talk about for a few moments this morning. You know, lies that we believe, the message that we hear, follow your heart, do what your heart tells you to do. All right, well, here's one. It says, if you get to the point where someone is telling you that you are not great or not good enough, just follow your heart and don't let anybody crush your dream. That's a quote from Patti LaBelle, famous singer. And I mean, you know, to read this, I mean, you know, there's things that I agree with in this statement. You know, people should not crush our dreams, amen? They should not, you know, be telling us negative things. But the instruction to follow your heart, my friends, is what I want to draw your attention to. Just follow your heart. Here's another one. Have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want. That's from Steve Jobs, who, in my estimation, the man was a genius, you know, to create the technology that he created. But is that a true statement? Have the courage to follow your heart because your heart already knows what you want. Well, my response to that would be, does my heart want the right thing? Food for thought. Here's another one. You can choose to follow your heart always. That's a quote from the author Don Miguel Ruiz. Don Miguel Ruiz, by the way, is he's a writer, has written many books, and he has the books that he has written, many of the books that he has written, are books about spiritual enlightenment. But there's a lot of spiritual enlightenment that is in our world that is not rooted or based in the person of Christ. It's not rooted or based in the Word of the living God. So I don't need that kind of enlightenment if it's not rooted in truth. So you can choose to follow your heart always. Really? Always? Is that an accurate statement? No, it is not. Here's another one. For you country and western fans. It says, listen to advice, but follow your heart. Conway Twitty. Listen to advice, well, that's good, but follow your heart. No, that's bad. Because nowhere in God's Word are we told to follow our heart. But how many times do we believe that our heart will lead us in the right path, in the right direction? Well, what does God's Word say about following our heart? Because the only true method is God's word. The only true roadmap is God's word. The only true directive is God's word. Because the word of God is eternal. When you need a word, and a lot of times people, you know, even they'll run to churches or they'll run to special meetings. And I just need a word from God. I need a word from God. And they're looking for somebody many times to prophesy over them or to give them, you know, a word of knowledge. You know, that was the one of the nine gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And, man, I am all for those gifts. And I believe that those gifts are valid. But how many of you understand that God says in His Word that those gifts must be tested? Amen? They must be tested. Do they bear witness with you? I've had people prophesy over me things before that was just so inaccurate. I mean, you know, that my brothers who I don't have were all going to be saved or things like that. Well, I have one sister. That's it. You know, so words, prophetic words have to be tested. You know, there's only one sure foundation of wisdom and guidance, and that is the Word of God. This book we call the Holy Bible. That's why it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for instruction and for correction so that the man or woman of God might be thoroughly equipped with wisdom of the Word of God. So when we think about lies that we believe, follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you. All right, what does God's Word say about that issue, about following our heart? I'm going to start with this one, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, in the Amplified Bible. It says, this is Proverbs 28, 26, it's foolish to trust your heart. All right, so right off the bat, God says it's a foolish thing to trust your heart. He who trusts confidently in his own heart is a dull, thick-headed fool. Do you think it could be any stronger language than what we read right here in Proverbs 28, 26? Proverbs 28, 26. It goes on and it says, but he who walks in skillful and godly wisdom will be delivered or will be rescued. So we cannot trust our heart. He says it is foolish to trust your heart. We cannot have confidence in our own heart. Yet that's the message that we hear from so many voices in the world in which you and I live. And you know, we hear things, and if it sounds good, then we have a tendency to say, you know what? Yeah, I believe that. Because it sounds good. But not everything that sounds good, and not everything that looks good, and not everything that feels good is good. And we have to be able to know the difference. So what does God's word say about following our heart? He said it's a foolish thing to do. Here's another illustration. What does God say about following our heart? He tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:9 that the ways of our heart, following the ways of our heart, can bring judgment. It can bring correction into our lives. And this verse in Ecclesiastes, it's really addressed to young people. And it says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your mouth. The days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Now, we have to understand a little bit about this book of Ecclesiastes. Because the book of Ecclesiastes, it comes from the angle of without God, everything is meaningless. There's a verse in Proverbs, for example, that says, money answers everything. Now, we hear that, and we would say, that doesn't really sound right. Money answers everything. That's what we read in the book of Ecclesiastes. However, we have to understand that it's coming from the angle of entertaining life and living this life and going through this life and all of the pursuits and all the things that we enjoy and all the things that pertain to this life, but yet we don't have God in our life, then it's all meaningless. So there's a little tad bit of sarcasm in some of these verses. So he's saying, yeah, okay, you want to follow your heart, then go ahead. Watch where that gets you. And judgment will come to those who follow their heart. See, because the ways of the heart can bring judgment, according to what we read in Ecclesiastes 11:9. The next one is, what does God's word tell us about following our heart? He tells us that our heart is full of deceit. The heart is deceitful. I quote this verse all the time, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or one translation says, who can understand it? Who can understand the heart? So you cannot, my friends, make choices and decisions and take action steps based upon what your heart tells you to do. Because Jeremiah 17:9, it says the heart is deceitful. And it is deceitful above all things. And it has the potential for evil, for wickedness. Who can trust it? Who can believe it? Who can follow it? We have to beware of the heart, because that, my friend, is a realm of our feelings. And we cannot make life choices or life decisions based upon what we feel. We have to have solid wisdom, skillful guidance, and that only comes from God. But the message of the world is, just follow your heart. It's a good compass. It will guide you. It will direct you. It will produce good things. God in his word says to the contrary. You cannot follow your heart because it is sick. There is a condition in your heart. I love this one in the Old Testament. God's instruction to the Israelites. He instructed them to not follow their heart because the heart is filled with selfish inclinations. So this is what he says in Book of Numbers, chapter 15, and verse 39. And I know we're almost in graduating time, and just a few weeks away from the month of May, and you get into the month of May, and what does that mean? It's graduation time, right? Students, my son Josiah is graduating from high school this year. I always, when Josiah turned 13, I quoted the book of Job. That which I feared the most has come upon me. Y'all know what that is? The teenage years. Some of y'all are still there. You remember your teenage years? Were you following your heart? Yep. Just like Proverbs that we just read, thick-headed, right? Thick-headed, following your heart, man. Yeah, graduation. So they're going to wear those caps. They're going to have those tassels on them. All right, so notice what God instructed the Israelites in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 39. He told them to put tassels on their garments. Let's kind of check this out, beginning in verse 37. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. Notice what he says next. so that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. So God told the Israelites through Moses that their heart was inclined to selfishness. It was inclined to following harlotry ways, adulterous ways. See, the symbolism here is simply based upon that when people live their own way, they follow the dictates of their heart. It is spiritual adultery because they forsake the Lord. Now, we must understand the Israelites were covenant people. They were the covenant people of God. And as covenant people, they had promises. Now, how many of you know that for born-again children of God, those who have put their faith, their hope, their trust, their confidence in Jesus Christ, we have entered into a new covenant. Hallelujah. So we have covenant benefits because of our relationship that we have been reconciled to God through the person of Jesus Christ. So to go against those covenant benefits and that covenant relationship, it was looked upon as spiritual harlotry or spiritual adultery. So that is what God was telling the Israelites. He said to Moses, I want you to instruct them. They cannot follow their heart because their heart will mislead them. It will direct them away from God because it is filled with selfish inclinations. But yet we believe this message, just follow your heart. Just do what your heart says because it's going to put you in the right place. It's going to get you where you need to be. But God in his word says the exact opposite of that. Nowhere in scripture does God tell us it is a good thing to follow our heart. He always tells us that we must guard our heart in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. For out of it are the issues of life. He tells us that we are to search our heart so that we can know what is its condition. What is it following? What's happening in my heart? He always encourages us in those areas because he knows. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he did not need anyone to testify of man because he knew what was in the heart of men. He understood the heart. Paul understood the heart. I mean, these writers of the New Testament that wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I think all of them in some way, directly or indirectly, address the issues of the heart. And we cannot follow the dictates of our heart because of its selfishness. So let's answer the next question. Why can't we do what our heart tells us to do? Why can't we follow our heart? What does God's word say about that? Why can't we do it? Well, here's the first. I'm going to give you three. Three main reasons of why we cannot follow our heart. All right, reason number one is that because of our inherited sin nature, the heart is sick. The world that you and I live in, I don't know about you, but reading the newspaper or watching the local news, I come to the conclusion, how can people do the things that they are doing today? How can they commit the heinous acts that they are committing today? I mean, right here in our own community, we just had a murder involving young children and the children's mother. How could anybody be so inclined to commit such an atrocity, to commit such an evil thing? I was just listening to a news report of a police chief who has for years been sexually abusing a child, and it started at age 4. I mean, how can people do these kind of things? My friends, because there is a heart problem. We have an inherited sin nature, and the heart is sick. It is very sick. And it is in need of transformation. And we see it in every sphere of society today. It is in every area of life. I mean, that's why I don't like, man, I want to read the Bible more than I want to read the newspaper. I want to read the Bible more than I want to watch the local news, because thank God the Word of God is good news. The news is bad news. Come on, somebody. Amen. And how many of you know, man, we need some good news. But this is why God in His Word tells us we cannot follow our heart, because we have an inherited sin nature. It's estimated that only, I've given this figure before, but I'll share it again. It's estimated. And this was done, you know, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. You know, I do a lot of reading, do a lot of research. And there was this article that I read quite a while back now. But it was a very intriguing article, because it talked about finishing strong in your walk with God, finishing strong in ministry. And based upon the studies that men and women that enter the ministry at the age of 18, that only 1 in 10 are still going strong for God at age 65. And many of them are no longer in ministry. Do you realize that there are multiple amounts of churches that are in need of pastors today? I was just talking to someone a couple of months ago around Christmas time. And a particular city in Alabama, northern Alabama, and several churches without pastors. They have no one to pastor these churches. You know, several of them, no pastors, no one to lead the flock, no one to shepherd the fold. You know, because they have fallen out of ministry. Because of scandal or because of sexual sin, or just not finishing strong. What happened to them? I'll tell you what happened. Something happened to the heart. There is an inherited sin nature, my friends. And if we follow our heart, we are following an unworthy God. You know, so I read things like this and numbers and statistics like this. And I realize if it happened to them, it could happen to me. And I realize that I must keep applying myself. I must keep my heart right before God. I must keep my heart open before God. Because there is the potential to be deceived and to commit wickedness. See, the heart has been deceived because of sin. And this is an important truth right here. I want you to get this. The heart doesn't tell us truth. It tells us what we want. Get that in your spirit. Your heart doesn't deal in truth. It deals with what you feel. It deals with what you want. It deals with your desire. So we have an inherited sin nature. You can thank our good buddy Adam for that. All the way back into the book of Genesis. Because the moment he committed sin, transgressed the law of God, broke the law of God, he was running away from God's presence. He was then living by emotional feelings. Rather than running to God, he ran away from God. See, I understand what the Bible says when Jesus said that no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. See, I understand that's because of an inherited sin nature. I understand that because of an inherited sin nature, nobody is going to seek God. Nobody is going to come to church. Nobody's going to pray, because we don't have a desire for any of that. See, it has to be initiated by God. He has to reach in. He has to begin to do something in our heart to bring us to a place where we can have saving faith and enjoy the presence of God once again and be reconciled to God. See, all of that, my friends, is because of an inherited sin nature. The heart is an unworthy God because it has a condition. And in the heart is the potential to commit wickedness. Jesus nailed it in the Gospel of Matthew when he said, "For from within the heart of man proceed." In other words, this is what comes out of his heart. Evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, thievery, lying, stealing, and, you know, a few other things that he kind of, it was a pretty good list that he put together there. You know, he said all of that comes from within the heart. It teaches us that we cannot trust the heart, because the heart doesn't tell the truth. It tells us what we want. Here's the second reason. Why can't we do what our heart tells us? Here's reason number two. Because we are blinded to its deceitful nature. Deception. You know, we live in a world that is deceived. People in this world are deceived, my friends. People are deceived. You know, the thing about deception is that you're deceived and you don't know it. That's the thing about it. You're deceived and you don't know. You don't know you're deceived. You think your way is right. You think your understanding is right. Proverbs addressed that. He said, there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So there's a way that seems right. You know, people have their own concepts, their own ideas, you know, because they are blinded to the deception that is at work. See, a deceived heart will perceive things in a wrong way. Remember that deception is always accepting something as true or valid that is false and invalid. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, he said that prior to the second coming of Christ, he said that deception would be so strong, it would be so bad, that even if it were possible, the elect of God would be deceived. He said that's how strong deception would be prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. So it is something that we must pay particular attention to. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, years ago back in, can't remember what year it was now. I think it was late 70s, I believe, maybe early 80s, when a man by the name of Jim Jones led 900 and something followers to Guyana, Africa. And then how could he convince 900 and somewhat people to drink cyanide poison, to take their own lives? How could he have been so convincing, and how could they have been so deceived? My friends, deception is a very real thing. And Jesus went on and he warned. He said, there'll be many that come in my name. He said, they're going to claim they're Jesus. There are people right now living in our world today who claim that they are the next Messiah, that they are Jesus Christ. He said there would be false prophets. He said there would be false apostles. And then Paul said this. He said, even Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. And he makes his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. I mean, that's how strong deception is. And the only thing that can keep us from deception is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. The word deceive in Greek, it means hoodwinked. I love that. Have you ever been hoodwinked? Sure you have. All of us at one time or another, we have been hoodwinked. My friends, that is the devil's game. He wants to hoodwink people. He wants to deceive them. He wants to draw them in. See, he doesn't come, you know, dressed like the devil. He comes in disguise. He comes, you know, masquerading as something. He paints a picture, and then he lures us in. You know, he sets the bait. He sets the trap. And then he lures unsuspecting people into it. That's why Jesus said to his followers, he said, we must be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's why you need the Word of God. That's why I still, even though I have been a student of God's Word for 42 years now, I am still a student. I am still a disciple. I am still a learner. I still spend time in God's Word studying and searching the Scriptures and learning more and seeing, getting a greater revelation of truth, because deception is strong. And that's why we can't follow our heart, because it works in our heart, our deceitful nature. So why can't we do what our heart tells us to do? Why can't we follow our heart? Number one, because we have an inherited sin nature that is at work in our heart. Number two, because we are blind to the deceitful nature that is at work. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can be protected and preserved by the Word of God. That's why if you come to this church, you're going to get the Word of God. You're going to get the truth of the gospel. We're not here to tickle ears and tell people all the positive things they want to hear. We're here to deal with truth. Amen? Because Jesus said in John 8:32, he said it's the truth that's going to set you free. As a lot of people tickle, they never want to address sin issues, never want to say anything negative, just put on a big smile. You know, I think there's a lot of preachers today that act like politicians. Anybody here like ball crabs? I know. I love boiled crabs. But they say that a crab is like a politician, always wanting to shake your hand. Did you ever have one grab you? I mean, crawfish, man, you could stick your hand in there and you might feel a little bitty pinch. But boy, if a blue crab grabs hold of your finger, you're going to be yelling because they grab and they don't let go. And they say a crab's like a politician, always wanting to shake your hand. You know, deception, man. And I believe there's a lot of preaching today that's kind of like that. You know, just tell people what they want to hear. You know, but don't deal with the real issues. Don't deal with anything negative. God's word deals with truth. Amen. And that's why I always say, if you really want to appreciate the good news, you got to understand the bad news. When you understand the bad news, man, you're going to dance and rejoice and shout at the good news. Hallelujah. Because the good news is that Jesus died to save us, to deliver us, to set us free, to give us life, to give us his life, and to give it more abundantly. And the end result is eternity with him. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get out of this world because, man, it's messed up. It's deceived. It's hoodwinked. So I can't follow my heart because of a deceitful nature. Here's a third reason of why we can't follow our heart, do what our heart tells us to do, because our heart is based upon emotions. See, our heart is that soulish realm. See, and in the beginning of Genesis, when sin came into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, because all have sinned. That's what we read in the book of Romans. Death came upon all men because all have sinned. So we go back into that Garden of Eden in the beginning of time when sin was committed. And we find that what happened from that moment on is that all of humanity began to live by what they feel because they were now soul dominated. See, God's plan was to be spirit dominated. See, and that's why when Jesus came on the scene, even the religious people couldn't understand him because he was not soul dominated. He was spirit dominated. His body, it didn't have a sin nature. So his body was not following the dictates of his heart. His body, his flesh was following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we read he's baptized in water. Matthew chapter 4. He's baptized in water. And then after that, it says that he was led of the Spirit. Doesn't say he was led of his heart, right? Because you don't find that in the Bible. It's not found in there. You don't believe me? Get a concordance. Search it out yourself. Look up every word for heart. And there's a lot of words for heart. And you will not find any place where God says. Now, of course, we read Ecclesiastes where, you know, he's saying follow your heart. But it was in that little sarcasm tone. You know, what he was really saying, if you think you know better, you think you know right, then watch where that gets you. Sometimes we've kind of told that to our children, have we not? Oh, you think you know better, that you think you're smarter than us? What is saying Becky used to say years ago? Those who will not, I just had to give her a little... I had to give her a little reminder. Those who will not hear must feel. Becky, is that in the Bible? No. That's from the book of Rebecca. There you go. We got a new book to add to Holy Writ. Not really. But Jesus, my friends, was led of the Spirit. What's leading you today? What's leading you? What's guiding you? What's directing your life? Y'all remember this song from the, I think it was in the mid-70s, late-70s? You Light Up My Life. Debbie Boone, I think there have been several that have, you know, made it popular, but I think it was Debbie Boone who was kind of the first artist, I believe, to really sing it and make it known. Nice tune, nice song. But, you know, remember what I said, there's a lot of messages, a lot of voices. See, we might like a song, we might sing it, but don't mean that it's good for us. And, of course, this was in the sense of, this wasn't being sung to Jesus, right? Right? Wasn't being sung to Jesus. It's being sung to a man or a woman. You light up my life. But this particular phrase, it can't be wrong when it feels so right. Kind of reminds me of another song. If you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with. Is that biblical? It's a catchy tune, right? But it's not God's message. I mean, that's a message of promiscuity. Well, if I can't, I love my wife, but if I can't be with the one I love, then I'm going to love the one I'm with. Mm-mm, the wives ain't going to go for that. Come on, somebody. Ain't going to go for that. Man, I walked through the makeup department at Dillard's and the makeup lady starts smiling at me. I was like, man, they're friendly. I said, it must be the anointing. Becky said, oh, it's the devil. Keep walking, boy. Look, they smiled. Why are you getting mad at me? You ever see any of these little videos where they do these pranks? People going up the escalators in the mall. And they have, you know, they have guy and his girlfriend or his wife. And all of a sudden, you know, this very provocative dressed woman. You know, she's going up the other way. The couple's coming down this way. And she'll just kind of lean her hand over there and do that on his arm. And all of a sudden he looks back. And somebody had posted one of those on Facebook. And I started watching it, and it was so funny because the wife starts slapping the husband. He didn't do anything. I mean, he's just trying to get to the bottom of the shopping center, you know. And this provocative woman, you know, it's prank stuff they're doing, you know. And just rubs his arm, and then, you know, he turns around to look, and she's looking, and she's, like, blowing kisses. And then the wife or the girlfriend, she looks at that, and then she just starts, like, hitting the guy. Come on, give us a break. Y'all trying to keep us in line. We understand that. You know why women do that? Because they know the heart. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. Oh, yes, it can. See, you can't follow the heart because it's based upon emotions. Let me get to the last and final question. How do we get guidance in our lives? And all of us are in agreement this morning, I think, that we need guidance. We need direction in our lives. Amen? Because every day, every week, we have to make choices. We have to make decisions. We need wisdom. We need guidance. Just like the verse that we started off with in Proverbs 28:26. He who walks in skillful and godly wisdom will be delivered, will be rescued. We need to be able to walk in skillful and godly wisdom. We can't follow the heart. It will mislead us. Even though the world tells us, yeah, that's your compass. Follow it. It'll get you where you want to be. No, it will not. We have to have better guidance than that. We can't follow the heart. Nowhere does God in his word say follow your heart. But yet it is a lie that many of us believe. And we've got to change it. We've got to change it. How do we get guidance in our lives? One of the first passages of God's word that I committed to memory as a young believer were these words in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. In Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, he encourages us that we have to commit this heart to God. We have to surrender this heart to God. So he tells us, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Y'all see that? Then he says, in all of your ways, everything you do, every area of your life, acknowledge God. Seek his wisdom. Seek his guidance. Is it okay for me to proceed with this purchase? Is it okay for me to proceed with this relationship? That's what acknowledging means. Is it okay for me to go here? See, you have to acknowledge him. Is it okay for me? God, I need you to guide me and direct me. But how many times? Well, I'm just going to follow my, this is just what my heart tells me to do. What? Don't do that. Because nowhere in the scripture are we told to do that. I have to commit it to God. So he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I love the next verse as well, verse 7. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So if we include that, you know what he's telling us to do? He said, don't follow your heart. Because what did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 12. For from within the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. We have to control our thought life. We have to bring thoughts in subjection. See, that's why we have to renew our mind. We got to renew it with the word of God. Bring those thoughts under control of the Holy Spirit. So how do we get guidance? We have to commit our heart to God. Next thing we must do, we must look to the Holy Spirit. See, proper guidance is based upon Holy Spirit truth. Now, remember that we've already established today that the heart does not deal in truth. It deals in what it wants, in what it desires. But the Holy Spirit deals in truth. He will guide us according to truth. All right, so Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, he says in verse 13, he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, he calls him the Spirit of truth. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He said he'll glorify me. For he will take of what is mine and will declare it to you. In other words, my will, my plan, my purpose, you will have clarity. Because the Holy Spirit, if you seek it, you will have clarity. You will have skillful wisdom and knowledge. In these last days, I believe we need the Holy Spirit now more than ever. We must lean upon him, lean upon his wisdom. Listen, even when you go into a shopping center or go into a grocery store, lean upon the Holy Spirit, because there's evil, there's sin, there's wickedness all around us. And I believe we ought to look to God. God, give me guidance. Keep me away from the wrong people. Surround me with the right people. And give me the ability to know the difference. See, that's what we need right there. The ability to know the difference. Hallelujah. The ability to discern what's good from what looks good. Did y'all catch that? The ability to discern what's good from what looks good. Because not everything that looks good is good. Again, because of deception. So I need the Holy Spirit. I need His wisdom, His guidance, His direction. Here's the last and final thing. Because God says the heart that is set free, the heart that He touches, the heart that He delivers, the heart that He is working in, there is going to be a spiritual energy in that person's heart. Hallelujah. And He says in Psalms 119, in verse 32, He said, I run the course of Your commandments, for You enlarge my heart. Just like in the book of Numbers that we read, when God said, put those tassels on your garment. And He said, every time you look at those tassels, remember that it symbolizes my commandments. In other words, it symbolizes my word. It symbolizes the power and the authority of my precepts, of my instruction, of my direction for your life. So don't lean upon your heart, because it can go after harlotry. It can get you so messed up. It can get you so out of the will of God that you won't know what end is up. It can get you so separated from the presence of God, you won't even know how you can get back. See, that's why we got to have the difference. We got to know the difference. We got to have it working in us. I need His word. Isn't it interesting that the longest chapter in all of the Holy Bible is Psalms 119, 176 verses. 176 verses that teaches us and instructs us about the Word of God. I mean, just look at what it says. He says, revive, verse 25, revive me according to Your word. Teach me Your statutes. Make me understand Your precepts. I'll meditate upon Your works. My soul melts from heaviness, but strengthen me according to Your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me Your law. It's His word. He said, I've chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to Your testimonies. Lord, don't put me to shame. And then He said, I'll run in the course of Your commandments. Because it's the word of God that is going to set me free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. He said, those that are in my word and my word is in them. He said, those are the ones that are truly free. Those are the ones who are living in victory. So He said, I will run in Your commandments. That means there's some enthusiasm. There's some energy. There is a spiritual energy that is a result of the Word of God. That's why we started this Bible school. That's why we put forth the funds for West Point Bible School. So we would not charge you a dime. You can enroll and be a student, and you can learn the Word of God on your own time, at your own leisure. And by so doing, you will renew your mind with the Word. You will get the Word on the inside of you. The Word will then be in your heart. And what did the psalmist say? Your Word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Why did he say he put His Word in his heart? Because he understood the evil and the wickedness and the potential of the heart to go astray. So he said, the only way I can counter that, I got to get the Word in my heart. So he said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against You. Are you enrolled in the Bible school? Get enrolled. Amen. If you're not, get enrolled. Take the first course. And spend time. It's simple. It's easy. Sit down with a Bible, an ink pen, and the workbook, and just go through it. You'll be amazed of how the Word of God will begin to flood your soul, how it will renew your mind. And then you all of a sudden begin to walk in truth rather than following the inclination of your heart. The heart that is free is spiritually energetic. They are running in the power of His Word. I'm going to leave you with this testimony today. And this is a testimony. I don't know that I've ever shared this testimony of when I was called into ministry. If I have, it's been a long, long, long time. But I remember when I became born again. And, you know, I had no religious upbringing. I came from a broken home. My father died in an automobile accident when I was a baby. Never knew my father. My grandfather, who was the only male figure that I had in the home, died of brain cancer when I was, I think I was 8 years old. And, you know, so had no guidance. And let me tell you something. Regardless of what the world says today, we need male guidance. And we need male leadership in the home, in the family, and in the church. Now, the world will say, oh, you're a sexist. Call me what you want. I'm telling you God's plan. But you see that lies people believe. The world's deceived. They're deceived. We need male leadership in families. We need men bringing young men through passage into manhood. Amen. We need that desperately today. I didn't have it. You know, and that's why I got into so much mess and so much trouble. Because I didn't have any guidance. Didn't have any direction. Nobody giving me direction in my life. And, you know, when I got saved, when I got born again, and I felt this, you know, I was so hungry for the things of God. And I was devouring the Bible. And, you know, then I just started having this, you know, this thought that God was dealing with me. And he was calling me into ministry, calling me to preach the gospel. And I was like, man, that can't, maybe all that substance that I've used over the years and been playing with my mind. I said, man, I could never do that. I could never be that. And, you know, but I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake that deal. You know, I was a young believer, so, you know, I didn't have the maturity that I have now. I didn't understand spiritual things then like I do now, you know. So I just kept wanting to just brush it off, but I couldn't shake it. You know, it was God dealing with me and speaking to me and working in me. And so then our church was involved in a citywide crusade, and we went to they had a banquet for all of the churches that were participating, and I went. Of course, Becky, I was under Becky and I weren't married at the time, but I was in her father's church, and. You know, so he was involved in it, and he had chosen us, and I got selected. He said, I want you to be part of this, and I was like, yes, sir, reporting for duty. And so he said, we're going to this banquet, and it's going to be a free meal. I said, I'm in, hallelujah. And he said, they're going to tell us a lot of things about this this crusade and how we can serve. And so I remember sitting in that building. It was at a local hotel, and sitting in that ballroom, and all of a sudden the minister got up, and he began to prophesy. And he said, the prophecy said, he said, there is a calling of God upon your heart. There is a purpose of God. The Lord has been speaking to you, and you can't understand it. And I was like, my God, is God speaking to me? I mean, there was probably 1,000 people in this event. And, I mean, it hit me so strong, and I was like, man, this dude is speaking to me. I mean, everything he said, I've called you out of darkness. I have set you free, and I am now calling you to preach my word. And, you know, now I'm not saying that all those 1,000 people there, that it wasn't for them as well, but God spoke to me through that. But, you know, being the skeptic that I was, I was like, well, I'm not going to just go upon what some preacher says, you know. And I said, the only thing that I know that I can trust is the word of God. And I've never been one of those, you know, like, Lord, just open the bright page and give me what you need to help me on this decision and this answer. But at this point, it was kind of like that. And I didn't have near the understanding, near the familiarity with the Bible that I have now. And all of a sudden, I opened to the book of Colossians, and I started reading chapter 3. And I never read this book of the Bible before. And, you know, I was new. I was just growing. So I get down to Colossians 3:15, when it said, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you have been called in one body, and be ye thankful. And when I read that, all of a sudden there was just a spirit of weeping that came upon me. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, I knew that God had called me to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he confirmed it. He confirmed it. And you know how he confirmed it? He confirmed it by his word. By his word. So people, you know, and again, people all look running around. God, I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. Here it is. Here it is. And again, I'm not trying to negate gifts of the Spirit, prophecy. I mean, because God used it for me. But when you really want to have something to stand on, when you really want to have a foundation, you got to get back to the book. Amen. Because your heart, my friends, if it gets the word, if it gets this book on the inside, he's going to lead you into effectiveness, into power, into anointing, into everything he has for you. But if we follow our heart, oh, it can't be wrong if it feels so right. Oh, listen, we can't live by that philosophy. Amen.